There was a study done in 2014 in the waters of Rio de Janeiro. It showed that there was a significant presence of superbacteria. Mind you, this is the destination of the 2016 Olympics. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported these bacteria, classifying them as an urgent public health threat. There will be swimmers there, rowers, a lot of aquatic activities. Tourists will be swarming that country, the beaches and the lakes. The Associated Press did their own study and reported that the fecal matter in those waters were 3 times the acceptable level. I didn't even realize that there was an acceptable level of fecal matter. Why is there an acceptable level? The Brazilian government followed up and said, "We got you. Sorry, our water is polluted. We understand. We'll fix it. The International Olympic Committee had 4 cities on their shortlist: Chicago, Madrid, Rio de Janeiro, and Tokyo. And when they looked at Brazil, they said, wow, there's a lot of corruption and instability within the government, a lot of terrorism, human rights abuses, generally a lot of political unrest. But the IOC eventually narrowed it down and said, you know what, you guys are good. This country is beautiful. You got the bid. And just as all of this concern died down from all of these issues, in walks the Zika virus. Well, not literally, but the virus, primarily mosquito-borne, has been linked to birth defects, which means women who are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant in the future are advised to stay away from areas where the virus can be contracted. There is, however, scientific studies that show that since the Olympics are being held in what is technically Brazil's winter, the weather will be cooler, hence the mosquitoes won't be there because they like warmer weather. America's superstars, LeBron James and Steph Curry, have decided that they will not be in attendance. They did not cite Zika as the primary reason, but one could safely assume that this was one of the factors. American skier Lindsey Vonn told People magazine that she was going to go, but, quote, "I think with the Zika and everything, it's probably just better for me to watch from home. Better that I watch from home." Hope Solo, the United States women's soccer team goalkeeper, told CNBC that she strongly believes that no athlete should be put into this position to decide between your Olympic dream and your own health. American cyclist TJ Van Garderen was quoted in the New York Times saying that he could not live with himself if something happened to his wife, who is currently pregnant with their second child. The top 4 golfers in the United States, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, and Rory McIlroy, all declined an invitation to the Olympics. It must be noted that golf has not been in the Olympics in 112 years, which is why a lot of people are calling these athletes selfish. Now, it can be understood that, yes, playing in the Olympics is, as Hope Solo points out, it's an Olympic dream. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And for a sport like golf, not having been in the Olympics for that long, cut those odds in half. Once in a lifetime, cut that in half. And yet, selfish. Is that the right word to use for it? When did it become selfish to not only look out for your own health, but the health of the people that you love? Let it go. We're not the ones going to Rio. We'll most likely be watching from our living room TV. And sadly enough, your favorite athlete may as well. But who's to blame for that? Here I have Utah Jazz beat writer of the Salt Lake Tribune, Tony Jones. And Tony, this offseason, a lot of talk surrounded the newest free agent at that time, Kevin Durant, the big fish, the most valuable free agent on the market. Every team wanted him, the coveted Kevin Durant. Everyone counted down the hours, the days, until he finally posted on the Players Tribune and announced that he would be joining the Golden State Warriors. And this decision has brought up the conversation of super teams, and he struggled against this team in the playoffs, and he took the mentality, if you can't beat them, join them. So keeping that in context, how does his decision not only affect the Western Conference, but the league as a whole?
Well, obviously, from a basketball standpoint, you know, Golden State is a favorite to win a championship next year. But basketball-wise, I mean, I think the Golden State is, they're going to have much the same issues that Miami Heat had in 2011 when LeBron joined up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Just in terms of, you know, so much pressure on a night-to-night basis, and, you know, Golden State has some issues structurally that people aren't really talking about in terms of, you know, they have a lack of a defensive rim protector with the loss of Andy Bogut, and I think they have a lack of a back-to-the-basket post score as well. Now, obviously, you know, those issues are mitigated by the fact that they're probably born into the greatest shooting team of all time and maybe the most explosive offensive team of all time. But I don't see them winning a championship as a slam dunk. I mean, I think that, you know, the best player in the world still resides in Cleveland. I still think that there are teams out west that can give Golden State some issues. And, you know, basketball players are some of the most competitive people on the planet. You know, the NBA is not going to just lie down for the Golden State Warriors just because Kevin Durant decided to go there with and join Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. You know, the rest of the NBA is not happy that Durant went to Golden State. I personally believe that, you know, this is what free agency is for. Durant is eight, almost 9 years into his career. If you're an NBA player and you are fortunate to last long enough in this league to hit unrestricted free agency, then you have complete carte blanche and the freedom to take advantage of your unrestricted free agency. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing, is the fact that, you know, Durant, this is Durant's choice. And, you know, I think that with Durant and with LeBron James, I think that a lot of people have some issue on some level of an athlete being able to take destiny into his own hands. But if you were working at AT&T and Durant offered you a better package with, you know, a more competitive salary, and you had a chance to win, if you don't take it, you know, I would question your will to win.
Exactly, and that's a point a lot of people fail to realize. It was a better deal for him. Of course, he loves his fans, but he's entering his ninth season in the NBA. He's won the MVP award. He's won Rookie of the Year. He even has an Olympic gold medal, but by NBA standards, he does not have a ring, which means that his legacy, so to speak, has not been thoroughly cemented in NBA history. He may have put OKC on the map, but now it's time for him to move on, and that's the way he sees it. Larry Bird spoke on NBA Sirius XM radio saying that he could never imagine himself going to the Lakers in the 70s and 80s, playing with Magic Johnson, because he'd rather beat them. And yet for them, it was more about the competition, the rivalry, the hatred of, you know, East Coast versus West Coast. Do you see that as relevant today?
I don't think what Larry Bird said was relevant at all, because Larry Bird, number one, when Larry Bird was playing, you know, free agency wasn't anywhere near as prevalent as it is now. And secondly, Larry Bird couldn't imagine playing with Magic Johnson because Larry Bird didn't have to play with Magic Johnson. Larry Bird played with Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Dave Collins. He played with Tiny Archibald. He played with Danny Ainge. He played with Dennis Johnson. He played with so many Hall of Famers. He was coached by KG Johnson. He went to one of the two best organizations in the NBA at that time. He played with as much talent as he could ever hope for in his career. And so him comparing his situation with Kevin Durant, I think was very irrelevant. At the end of the day, it's all about winning championships. And your legacy as an NBA player is judged almost 100% on how many titles that she won. I mean, if you look at Patrick Ewing, you look at Charles Barkley, you look at Karl Malone, those guys are great. But if you're doing the top 10, 15 players of all time, those guys probably aren't in it because they haven't won championships. And that's what legacies are about, and that's what it's about being in the NBA. And right now, Kevin Durant, for the first time, sees, you know, his basketball mortality coming up on him. He's in his prime, in the prime of his career, and he wants to win titles. So I think more power to him if that's what he wants.
Thank you so much, Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Tribune. What's your Twitter handle? Shout it out.
Twitter handle is TJonesFLTrip. TJonesFLTRIB.
And now I'd like to welcome in WALB sports reporter and anchor Brandon Theo Dorsey. Recently, some Minneapolis cops left a Minnesota Lynx game, the WNBA team there, because they were offended by the warm-up t-shirts that the women were wearing. The shirts had the names of Philando Castile, Alton Sterling. They said, the shirt said Black Lives Matter. But one thing a lot of people failed to realize as well is that they also noted and had the Dallas Police logo in honor of the five officers that were slain in the shooting. To begin, tell me a little bit about your reaction to that event.
Well, the number one takeaway I got from this is I have a new favorite team in the WNBA. Can I say that?
Yes.
I used to, you know, being from Houston, I was a Houston Comets fan, and then, like many WNBA teams, they ended up fading out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really could pick and choose which team. I would always just go off of how much, which team had the most Houston players on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Ogunwumike and Kelsey Boone, and, you know, my good friend Amber Rhines, almost made a roster one time. So that's how I picked. But now, what I saw from them was they have some marquee players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the top teams in the best conference for WNBA. And they decided to take a stand for something that happened in that city. They literally did not have to do that, and they knew they would catch a lot of backlash in Minnesota, a place that necessarily known for not only athletes standing up, but just civil rights activists and that kind of liberal push before. I think it was honorable of them. And they also did mention that half the Dallas police symbol on there, so they were trying to create unity and conversation. And it really highlighted how little of conversation you could, at least you can say, the other side of the fence wants to have about what's going on.
Recently at the ESPYs, we saw LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Paul, I think, eloquently express their emotions and sort of speak out and call all athletes to action. What would you say were your thoughts about their speech, and do you think it's effective?
Number one, it's good to see them together outside of, you know, being on the banana boat vacation.
That's a good point.
you know, and doing it for a good cause. You know, they look good up there. It made sense. It had to be done almost. So I wanted to, like, let's say if everybody wasn't pushing for them to do that and they went and did it, I would have felt a little bit better about it. But a lot of people are questioning the like, how genuine it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, LeBron James has been one to shy away from that so often, mm-hmm. as well as Dwayne Wade hasn't really spoke out on it. And Chris Paul, I don't know if I've ever seen him take a stand on anything like that. So,
exactly.
And I guess everybody's waiting to see what action they're going to take.
Carmelo Anthony posted on Instagram recently saying, you know, I need people to stand up. I need my fellow athletes to speak out. Muhammad Ali did it. We need to do it too. And like you mentioned, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, when they were on the Heat, you know, when Trayvon Martin was shot in Florida, they had their silent protest. They wore the hoodies in solidarity for him. But that doesn't seem like it's being effective. And for all we know, they could be having these conversations, you know, in private. They could genuinely have a passion for it, but what more can they do?
Well, I think that's the perfect start, or not the perfect start, but that's a good start, because just not saying anything at all and shying away from it is it's almost irresponsible, because, you know, they do hold such a big influence in our generation. But it would have been nice to also see them, you know, venture out of their little friend group, like maybe have athletes from other races or athletes from other sports even
join them on that stage and make those same points, because it would have carried more weight. It would have showed the diversity. Now, one thing I do want to say is, like with the Minnesota Lynx, what they did was honorable. I loved every bit of it, but they opened up the door for the other side, even though they shouldn't be two opposing sides, but there honestly is. They opened up the door for the other side to criticize them because maybe the logo, the Dallas logo, was too small, or the fact that they used hashtag Black Lives Matter. LeBron and the four of them, they didn't politicize this, and they didn't make it divisive at all. They didn't give anybody an opening to say, hey, you guys are wrong, all lives matter, or whatever. And instead, they just said, hey, we want peace. We don't want people to die. We don't want officers killing people innocently, and we also don't want people killing officers innocently. And I think that was the most important part of it. It didn't feel political. It felt more like, hey, we're just here standing for peace.
A lot of talk surrounding these shootings has brought up the name of Muhammad Ali, who we recently lost. And we knew Ali to be that political activist. He declined to go to the Vietnam War, saying that I'd rather not go to another country and kill people where my own people are dying in my homeland. You had the Ali Summit and Jim Brown and other prominent athletes stand with him on a political stage and do that and make that statement. Do you see that happening in our near future?
I don't think it'll be the same because, like, again, like, Ali's come once in a, I don't even want to say once in a lifetime, like, I think once ever. Because he felt, he was literally so moved. I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy not only that put his career on the line, he put his life on the line and his freedom on the line to stand for what he wanted. I don't think any of the athletes, at least any of our prominent athletes today, have that kind of will about them. So, and as well, it's like you have to match being the greatest at your sport with having that strong will for what you stand for. And I don't think anybody has that. As much as it would take an Ali, I don't think we have one. And that's the, I guess that's the scary part about it. But maybe we don't need Ali. Maybe this is, like you said, the super friends could join a super team together. And instead of trying to win NBA championships, they, you know, go out and try to fight for peace. Like it seems like they're trying.
I want to thank you again for joining me. You can follow him on Twitter, Brandon Theo D.
And D is for dedication.
Thank you for joining the first episode of the Kwani's Official Review Podcast, also known as KOR, because that's way shorter to say. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.